smartphone, DSTV channel 856 and on 92.7 and 106 FM.
This is 702.
Good morning, Dr. Fundi Lenyati. Thank you so much for your time as per usual on this Saturday morning.
Good morning, Lucille, and good morning to your listeners.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Nyati, we had an interesting call there just before we started with you. I'd thrown it out there when we started the show today that our conversation with you is going to be all about the effects of the COVID-19 lockdown, the effects of those restrictions on alcohol and cigarette dependence, right? What happens to them as we go into our second weekend of lockdown? And I guess in many ways, you know, depending on where you sit on the spectrum, some people were outraged about the ban on the trade of cigarettes and alcohol, while some were, you know, all for it, you know, saying, well, you know, it's just a vice, so you can live without it for the duration of the lockdown. But, you know, let's look at it from this perspective, that some people out there, you know, yeah, sure, it is a vice, it is an addiction, maybe or will be going through withdrawal symptoms from a lack of both these substances. First of all, let's define what addiction is, because it's clearly not, this is something I like to do, or this is how I unwind and have fun. It's much, much deeper than that.
Look, yes, you're very right. I think one thing that people need to understand is that if somebody has been using a chemical, you know, here we're talking alcohol, also we're talking about something like nicotine, you know, with smoking, their body over time gets used to that chemical.
Sure.
And so, you know, and with time, the body demands more of this chemical, and then they give more of the chemical. All right, so here, more of alcohol, more of smoking, or other illicit drugs. And it gets to a point where the body is so used to this chemical that it gets at regular intervals, that when you then suddenly stop taking that chemical, for whatever reason, then the body is going to react. And it will react in a way that is either physical or mental, or both, ranging from mild kind of symptoms to sometimes life-threatening kind of symptoms. So, and that is at a point where it's no longer in your control. You are now being controlled by the chemical rather than you being in control of the chemical. So that's basically, in simplistic terms, that's really what we're talking about. So we say somebody has got you know, addiction to a substance when it gets to a point where it is the one that is controlling you rather than the other way around.
Yeah. And, you know, in many ways, I guess the reason that there's been outrage or, you know, concerned calls about this complete ban on these substances is people who are talking about or who are worried, for instance, about the fact that there's been no sort of on-ramping process to make sure that these people can mitigate against withdrawal and the process thereof. Talk us through what withdrawal for a person who's battling alcohol dependency. What does that look like, and how dangerous is it to go through that process?
Okay, lovely, lovely. Yes, you're right. There's been some calls from a number of people who work closely with those who are battling, you know, alcohol abuse, you know, or those who are battling, you know, other forms of drug abuse. There's been a call, you know, their call is that this sudden stopping of people from having access to alcohol can actually have, you know, dangerous effects. One of those people is Professor, is a retired professor from Cape Town.
And UCT gentleman. Professor Dan Ngayana,
UCT Dan Ngayana. And also, you know, a director of one of the organizations that support people who are dealing with depression, sorry, with alcohol abuse. So the symptoms, you know, so if somebody drinks heavily alcohol for weeks or months or years, and they have to, you know, suddenly stop or seriously cut back on what they consume, then they present with a range of mental and physical health problems. You know, and these could, you know, be mild or severe, depending on the amount and the duration of the consumption. And, you know, mild symptoms would be things like, you know, anxiety, shaky hands, headaches, nausea, vomiting, insomnia, sweating. You know, that is at a mild level.
Sure.
However, it could also be quite serious to a point where a person needs a hospitalization, urgent, you know, emergency type of intervention, where they may present with hallucinations, you know, where they hear, feel, or see things that other people, you know, do not experience. They may have seizures, which actually can even cause death.
Sure.
You know, that normally happen within 24 to 48 hours of that sudden stop. They may have, you know, even something called a delirium tremens, which happens in about 5% of the, like, heavy users of alcohol. Other people call them DTs. You know, where they may be confused, they may have, you know, a racing heart, their blood pressure could be elevated, like, abnormally.
Sure.
Their temperature could go up, you know, very high, and they may have heavy sweating. And that is, you know, is actually quite dangerous. So what I expect in regards now to the lockdown is that some people might have stocked up before the lockdown, in which case maybe for the first week or so they were able to sort themselves out. But then, you know, week two going into week three, we are likely to see these people, because as they run out of stock and they have to reduce their consumption, you know, depending on how much they had stockpiled,
sure,
you know, we are likely to see these things, especially amongst the heavy users. And this is the danger that, you know, Prof. Nayana and others are actually talking about.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've just laid out the dangers of going to cold turkey for people that are heavy users of alcohol. We also know that over the last week and a half, telemedicine, for instance, has, you know, come sharply into focus, and we're able to turn to our healthcare providers or doctors in this way. Would your doctor be able to do a telephonic consultation with you and diagnose you, for instance, whether it's DT, whether it's saying, okay, I recognize what you're going through right now, and here's a script, go to the pharmacy and get something to help you through this?
Yes. You know, I think one of the positives, I would say positives, about the lockdown is that for some time, our Health Professions Council of South Africa, they didn't really look positively towards, you know, the use of you know, remote consultations. However, because of the challenges of lockdown and the limitation of movement, I think they have, to some extent, you know, relaxed their attitude towards medical aid, like, you know, Discovery and others are now actually fully paying doctors for, you know, remote consultations.
Uh-huh,
so the point I'm trying to make then is that, you know, if somebody experiencing, you know, symptoms relating to alcohol withdrawals, they can now have that Skype meeting, Zoom meeting with their doctor and get diagnosed remotely and actually get issued with a prescription, where they can be able to go to a pharmacy to get medication, especially for the milder form of withdrawal symptoms.
Yeah.
Obviously, for the serious form of withdrawal, it needs in-hospital type of management, you know, in which case then the people have to go to ER, you know, emergency room, where then they have to be managed appropriately at that level.
Absolutely.
So, so there is support, but also it's not only just at a physical level where you need to get tablets from the doctor, but also at a psychological level, you know, there needs, you know, to be some psychological support. And again, quite a number of, you know, psychotherapists have now gone online to provide that type of support, you know. And you just heard earlier from your, you know, one of your callers, that online there are a number of support programs, you know, from AA and others that people can at least be able to visit and also be a community that supports each other during this difficult time.
Absolutely. It's so very important. I mean, I like, I know that Lifeline is so incredibly useful as well with that toll-free number, and you can always reach out to them and talk to them and get that psychological support and counseling as well. But, you know, very briefly, a caller before Dave had spoken about his father who's been smoking, he says, for about 60 years. That's a lot to wrap one's mind around. But, you know, in terms of nicotine withdrawal as well, what, you know, people that are currently going through it or living with people, you know, stuck in a house with someone who's going through nicotine withdrawal, what are the sort of symptoms that they're presenting with and dealing with?
You know, nicotine, which is really the one of many chemicals that you find in cigarettes, but that's the one that is actually responsible for the addiction. It is a highly, highly, highly addictive chemical. You know, people take it to boost their mood, you know, to reduce depression, to reduce irritability, to enhance their concentration, to improve their short-term memory, to reduce appetite, you know, and all of that. Those are the reasons why people smoke. Now, when they get to be addicted, and then you suddenly stop their, you know, their intake or their smoking, then they will present with intense cravings, tingling in the hands and feet, you know, heavy sweating, nausea and abdominal cramps, constipation and lots of gas, headaches, coughing, sore throat, anxiety, depression, you know, and even weight gain. Now, so almost in the same way as what we spoke about with alcohol, you know, withdrawals, these can also be, you know, quite discomforting for people, and to a point where they may actually need to consult, you know, their medics for some, you know, you know, replacement. There's quite a number of stuff that is available, you know, to try and trick your body, you know, if you are the smoker, to trick your body that it's still getting the nicotine whilst actually it's trying to manage, you know, the withdrawal symptoms. But also psychotherapy, even there, you know, is actually valuable.
And, you know, Dr. Nyati, obviously we've spoken about telemedicine and consulting with your doctor, either telephonically or online, right? But is it always, you know, if you, as you're trying to deal with these symptoms or mitigate, you know, withdrawal symptoms, are you always going to be directed towards a medical prescription? And prescription, I mean, a pharmaceutical solution, or might these be come in the form of supplements, for instance? And, you know, I guess people might want to look at herbal alternatives as well. Are these at all useful and helpful?
Look, it doesn't have to. It depends, like I said, it depends on the severity of the symptoms. You know, when one looks at managing any condition anyway, one should not only just look at one type of intervention, let's say pharmacological intervention. It's important to have a holistic approach. So I've already mentioned, you know, the tablets from time to time and psychotherapy. But there are other, you know, I'll say remedies that over time have actually been found, you know, to lessen some of these symptoms. And it is actually important to also talk to, you know, even the pharmacists themselves for the non-pharmacological type of, you know, supplement, that's the word you use, to try and help to deal with some of the symptoms. So depending on the severity, one can start with, you know, basic, you know, supplements, remedies, or, you know, if they are severe, then yes, medical type of prescriptions would then be necessary. But beyond that, also the environment at home, you know, it's very, very, very important. It needs to be a supportive environment. For example, for somebody who has got alcohol withdrawals, they need to have a quiet place. You know, maybe that's very good during the social, you know, distancing time. You know, a place, a room that has got soft lighting, limited contact with people, because they become irritable. We've just heard now of the high number of domestic violence complaints just in the first 8 days of the lockdown. And that could be because these guys, they get to be highly irritable, and therefore conflict may actually arise very easily. The people around this person need to actually provide that supportive, non-judgmental support, healthy food, and lots of fluids. I'm talking about water here. Sure. Lots and lots of water. Very, very important, because they also, present with issues around, dehydration. So broadly, it's not just pharmaceutical interventions. It goes beyond that.
All right. Fantastic stuff. You know, Dr. Nyati, it really, really is a tough time for everybody, of course, globally here in South Africa.
Yes.
But, if someone knows and someone who's listening to us knows that that stock of theirs that you've referred to as we started our conversation is dwindling, what proactive action should they be taking now, knowing very well that you cannot access alcohol, you cannot buy cigarettes? What proactive action should they take now?
Look, I think the first thing is for them to actually know that, they are going to definitely get withdrawal symptoms. So therefore, awareness about what those symptoms are, and also awareness that if the symptoms are moderate to severe, they can't deal with that on their own. They need professional support. Otherwise, mild symptoms, they may still be able to get away with that. Mm-hmm. All right. So I think awareness about the symptoms and knowing when to actually seek help, I think, is the most important thing. And we've just had a story in East London where overnight there was a break-in in one of the liquor outlets that's linked to the Spark Group, and they cleaned it of alcohol. So criminality, because people feel they just can't deal with the withdrawal symptoms. They'll take any risk possible to try and get their hands on alcohol. So it's so, so, so important that people understand this thing and are ready for that, by talking to their treating doctors, talking to their therapist, if they already have some, and talking to their pharmacist for maybe the non-pharmacological, support. For smoking, for example, there's something called Nicorette and other, replacement type of patches.
Sure.
That could lessen their symptoms of withdrawal from nicotine, So I think what is important is that people must be aware of the symptoms, anticipate the symptoms, and know that at a particular point, if the symptoms are the severe ones, they need professional help. I think that's the key message. And the family around that person or their partners need to really be supportive, because it's not time to judge people at this point. Really, we just need to support them and hopefully, and the bigger thing, though, is to deal with the underlying, addiction and the reason why they escaped into that substance. And
Absolutely.
So after all of this, I think they actually do need to have a proper evaluation, so that if there are underlying, mental health challenges that drove them to the abuse or the use of the substances, then at least they can be dealing with the root problem rather than the symptom.
Dr. Fundile Nyati, thank you so much for that insightful conversation. We will chat to you again next week.